Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our gracious God and Father who sent his Son to save us. Amen. This morning we are going to be looking at the types of things that are characteristic to what Christians do and say, what sets them apart as Christians. In other words, we're going to ask the question, just what does the Christian life look like? Now, in order to ask this question, we're going to need to ask ourselves, just what does distinguish the Christian in his or her faith and life from all other people? And I'll tell you why we need to ask the question. We need to ask the question because there is a danger in the church today, because Christians are beginning to live more and more like the world around them. Christians seem to be imitating the bad behavior that's promoted in our unchristian culture instead of living by what God's word says and being shaped by that word. I believe this is because Christians have forgotten what the Christian life looks like. It is alarming that it's becoming hard to see the difference in lifestyle choices between those who claim they are Christians and those who do not. There is a serious result and impact of this on the church's integrity, its legitimacy, and most of all, its witness to the world. I don't know if you saw it, but a perfect example of what I'm talking about how not living the Christian life can hurt our Christian witness, comes from the unfortunate incident with Mel Gibson recently, his DUI in Malibu, California. Now, I don't know the story. I wasn't there. But allegedly, he was very angry with the police. He was very demeaning in his comments about the Jews when he was arrested, and he was severely intoxicated. If that's so, Gibson's behavior hurts the cause of Christianity, because there are already those out there who are using what happened recently in his life not only to discredit his movie, The Passion of the Christ, but also the Savior that that movie portrays. In the same way, you may not realize it, but your immoral actions, your lewd comments, your noticeable greed, your sharp tongue, your filthy jokes, your taking of God's name in vain can do greater damage to someone's faith than you could ever imagine possible. It can literally keep a person from becoming a Christian, or else it can cause a Christian to fall away from the faith. When someone who knows you and knows you call yourself a Christian sees you living a life of sin. And so God's word of instruction to us today is, get rid of all such offenses in your life. And Christians, start living the life that God intended for you when he baptized you into newness of life. For you see, God's grace in Christ, because it forgives your sin, makes you free to begin again and to become that person in Christ that he redeemed you to be. Christ has not called you to blend in with society and our sinful environment. You're not supposed to camouflage the fact that you have been called out of this world to live for Christ. Instead of blending in, we are supposed to stand out as God's holy and chosen people, to proclaim his mercy and his pardon in Christ to others. Now, I want to issue something of a disclaimer, something of a warning about what we are to do and not to do with this information. about what the Christian life looks like. We are using this information to assist us in our own walk with God. We are using this information today as a call to lead a more faithful and fruitful life as Christians. We are using this information so that we do not give offense that causes other Christians to stumble by our doing and saying things that would be inappropriate behavior for Christians. Use what we are talking about today as a barometer to measure the sincerity and the maturity of your own Christian faith and life. Do not use this as a weapon to turn on others, so that you sit back and observe the moral inconsistencies of your neighbor and call their faith into question. For my friends in Christ, you will have enough to do assessing how well you are living the life Christ called you to live. So instead of judging how others are doing in this whole matter, I want you to evaluate how well you are doing in the pattern that Christ has set down for us. As we discuss these things, I want you to also remember this, that as Christians, we are capable of some profoundly sinful and unchristian behaviors in those sort of low moments of our faith life. I want you to remember that even though we're Christians, we do not always act like Christians. That does not necessarily mean we aren't Christians. Because you and I can't see the struggle of repentance that goes on inside a Christian after he or she has sinned in some way that is uncharacteristic of Christians. On the other hand, I want you to understand that the non-Christian is capable of great and noble acts, of being charitable and sympathetic and showing acts of kindness, and yet this does not make that person a Christian. For without faith, it is impossible to please God no matter what a person does. And so, what I'm suggesting is that we can't simply look at someone or listen to that person and know whether he or she is a true Christian or not. Only God knows that. Only God knows the heart. Only God knows those who believe in him. Only God knows those who belong to him. As Christians, you and I are charitably called to assume that a person is a Christian if that person confesses the name of Jesus and if that person makes any attempt to live that life Christ has called them to live. And we are to make no other assumptions unless that person goes out of their way to demonstrate hypocrisy by living a life of sin persistently against the way revealed by Christ in Scripture. Now, with all of that said, our Lord tells us that what people say and do does provide proof as to whether they are truly Christians or not. Our Lord says, "By their fruits you shall know them." What a person does with his or her life then testifies as to what that person truly believes. God has created in you what is called the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit represents the Holy Spirit's influence on your Christian faith and life. Because Christ's Spirit lives in you, the following attributes will also appear in you, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These attributes, along with others, characterize the Christian life. They are consistent with a Christian life. If you truly believe in and follow Jesus, you should be able to see abundant evidence of that fruit in your life. Because that fruit of the Spirit typifies the Christian life. And those who do not have a real and living faith in Jesus will likewise show their own kinds of signs in their comments, their lifestyle, and their behavior. For just as there are good behaviors that identify Christians, so the Bible says there are evil behaviors that characterize the life of unbelievers. This is the biblical list of the fruit of death, the works of the flesh. Those who live lives of sexual immorality and impurity, who live in moral depravity, who engage in idolatry and sorcery and witchcraft, who stir up hatred and discord, are prone to fits of rage and jealousy and selfish ambition, who create dissension and faction, who reveal themselves to be envious and the like, the Bible warns, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to take stock of this, that the sad and scary truth is if that is your preferred lifestyle, then you are not a Christian. And you are only deluding yourselves to believe otherwise. What people confess about Jesus Christ, and whether they live for him or not, that is an important component of the Christian life. For how they live reinforces the sincerity of what they actually believe. Romans 10 says Christians believe in their hearts that the Lord is their Savior. They confess with their lips that he is the Son of God, come down to earth for that purpose. And that determines whether one is a Christian and whether one will enjoy eternal fellowship with God. Now, Christians should and will openly admit that their lives remain imperfect in this life because of sin. And still, it should be obvious that Christians at least have the intention of living for Christ, of serving him, of obeying him. Christians typically characteristically believe, and confess that they're saved by grace through faith in Christ without their works. In fact, there is nothing that characterizes the Christian life more than that divine conviction. That we are saved from the punishment that we deserve from God by God's merciful intervention upon the cross. And yet, the Christian's grateful response to that undeserved love in Christ is to turn around and to love and obey God with his or her life, with a life filled with good works. Even as Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship. We have been created in Christ for good works. And so if you were going to characterize the Christian life, you could do it in several ways. You could say the Christian life is characterized by the faith, hope, and love that are in Christ Jesus. You could say that the Christian life is characterized by love and good works. Even though we admit the performance of these works remain imperfect and incomplete in us Christians. And yet there's a big difference between incomplete works and the complete absence of attempting works. If your intention is to live for Christ, yet you often have trouble living up to that godly intention, then my friend, you are a Christian. Even though you may not feel like it, you may feel like you're constantly failing to live up to these new desires to live for Christ, you are a Christian. For only a Christian would have such regrets. Your works are incomplete. God wants to use the message of the gospel, of his great love for you, to inspire you, to spur you on to a life of greater good works, to encourage your growth in faith, and to instill in you an ever-renewing desire to live for God. However, if you merely say that you are a Christian, and yet all proof of this is lacking, and good works are habitually absent from your life, then you are not a Christian, and you are not living the Christian life. At this point, I'd like to just offer some things that characterize the Christian life. No matter how weak you may see your faith, no matter how sinful you may see your life, you must first of all know that faith in Jesus and the certainty that he forgives you because of the cross identifies you as a true believer. Along with this, there is a sure and certain hope that you will be in heaven one day because of Jesus. That's characteristics of a Christian. That we hold to that promise that God guarantees us, not because we earn it, but because he promised it, that we are going to go to heaven. That's not to say that as Christians we don't have some fear and apprehension over the process of dying. It would be entirely wrong for me to stand up here and say that the true Christian is fearless in the face of death. It is much more proper to say that we fear the dying process as Christians, perhaps, but that faith in Christ overcomes any dread of God's judgment upon death. Faith alone, as I mentioned before, is the chief characteristic that determines whether you are a Christian. And where true saving faith in Christ is present, all the other Christian characteristics we've been talking about will be present and will find a place in your life. And so, if you concentrate on faith, the good works will follow. Christians, characteristically, however, do have a desire to worship God, to attend church, to gather with other Christians, to be attentive and listen to God's word of grace, to receive his forgiveness through the sacraments. These are the marks of true Christianity. Now, sin remaining in us at times causes us to struggle with those things. We may want to ditch church, or we may want to daydream during the sermon. And yet, it is nonetheless characteristic of the Christian life that ultimately our godly desires will prevail. I'll tell you something else. There is a correlation between your church attendance and the health of your faith. While I cannot pretend to stand up here and statistically work it out how many times in a year is required to be a true Christian, it is true that the greater the faith, the greater your desire to be in worship and in God's word. It also works in reverse. Faith will increase your worship attendance, and attending church will increase your faith. For church is that place where we encounter God in his grace. Church is that place where we hear and receive the comfort of the gospel. Church is that place where we embrace the forgiveness in the Lord's Supper. Another characteristic of Christians is earnest prayer to God in Jesus' name. That marks the Christian's life. Now, Christians pray not because it's something we have to do, but because we know that God delights in our prayers. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are, how long they are, it only matters that we live with the assurance that God wants to answer them because of Jesus. From time to time, sin does gain the upper hand in our lives. But faith cannot last for very long under those conditions. And I will tell you something, that an active prayer life is the first thing to go. Christians also will find themselves studying and memorizing and pondering and putting God's word into practice. They will be devoted to Christ's teachings. They will not want to deviate from them in the least. No true Christian wants to be a heretic. We may make errors of judgment in our faith.
We may be confused about certain parts of the Bible and hold to things not taught in the Bible. And yet as Christians, we never intentionally or willfully or knowingly want to live or believe or teach anything contrary to what our Lord teaches. We Christians cannot lose our faith merely because we have some incomplete picture of Christianity, because we don't know it all. There is no spiritual danger in that. As long as we do not knowingly reject and resist God's word when God's servants bring it to us. God, in fact, forgives a whole lot of unbelief in our hearts. He forgives us for the many times we failed to trust him. That's part of the Christian life. Though God doesn't tolerate sin, God is patient with our imperfections, our weaknesses, our silly errors, and our hypocrisies. Because for the sake of Jesus, God chooses not to see your sins, but instead only to cover them in the blood of his Son. What God cannot and will not forgive or tolerate is stubborn impenitence, where we do not go to God in repentance and refuse to acknowledge our need for forgiveness. Nor can God forgive those who have chosen to give themselves over to a life of sin without repentance. You cannot serve God and sin. You can either choose the pleasures and the pursuits of this life over Christ, or you can believe in Christ and his pardon of you. Perhaps the greatest offense in our day among those of us who call ourselves Christians is sexual misconduct. Sexual impurity does not characterize the Christian life. Sexual sins not only defile our bodies because they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but these sins also defile our faith. And I worry about this as a Christian pastor, because never in the history of Christendom have there been so many temptations upon believers. Pornography is now so accessible even to our youth. Our social values are so promiscuous. The acceptance of sexual misconduct is so widespread that it's now considered normal behavior. And so perhaps this is the one area where Christians can shine. Perhaps this is the one area where we can have the greatest impact, where we can leave the greatest impression on those who are seeking to know more about the Christian faith. If our friends can see that we live by a different set of standards than what the world lives by, if they can see that we value sexual abstinence and promote virginity, if they can see that we stand for better things than one-night stands and casual sex and living together outside of marriage and homosexuality. My friends in Christ, I believe these are the challenges that confront today's Christian who wants to be more faithful. Will our morality resemble the music we listen to? Will it resemble the movies we watch? Or will it resemble the life of Christ our Lord? The Christian life is also not characterized by indifference to such matters. You must care about these things if you are going to be a Christian. Spiritual apathy is highly unbecoming to the follower of Jesus. It's antithetical to the whole Christian life. For after all, we're Christians. And you know what that means? That means that we have a love for God's word and a zeal for his commandments. That's what the true Christian life looks like. That's why it's important. No matter how imperfect our efforts to live that life, as true Christians, we should desire to live that life, a life that honors Christ. For Christ gave himself up in the most amazing sacrifice to release us from eternal shame and misery. And so, my friends, everything that you as a Christian will say and do throughout your lifetime should now be an attempt to thank the Lord by the way you choose to live your lives. For remember always this important fact: you belong to Christ. Amen. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds. Amen.